This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Tom Perez took the helm of the Democratic National Committee in early 2017. That was a time when the party's reputation was in tatters. There was the Clinton-Sanders rift, Russia email hacking scandal, and of course, big losses in 2016. So where does the Democratic Party stand now? Democrats have picked up dozens of state House seats since Donald Trump took office, but the DNC's pocketbooks don't look so good. The Republican Party has outraised the Democratic Party by more than $120 million for the 2018 election cycle. That's according to Open Secrets, and that is so far. And the DNC is still millions of dollars in debt, again, according to Open Secrets. So joining us now, former U.S. Secretary of Labor and the current DNC chair, Tom Perez. He's in town to give the Terry Sanford Distinguished Lecture at Duke University. Did that last night, and we welcome you to the program now, Chairman Perez. Welcome.
Frank, it's great to be with you and your listeners.
Let me ask you this. 2016 election, right, obviously deep divide within the Democratic Party. We saw that. The DNC stood behind the more centrist candidate. Democratic winners in special elections since have been sending mixed messages about unity. And well, let's talk about Connor Lamb. Narrowly won a House special election in Pennsylvania as a pro-gun, anti-Nancy Pelosi candidate. He's a Democrat. Democratic Party stood behind him. What's the message now from the Democratic Party months from the November elections?
Well, first of all, Frank, we've been winning elections all across this country, whether it was special elections in Oklahoma, four of them last year in beat red Trump districts, whether it was the mayor of Charlotte, Vi Lyles, who we were proud to support, or the mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, Keisha Lance Bottoms, or whether it was Connor Lamb in Pennsylvania. And what we had in common in all of these races is that we were organizing, we had great candidates, and we were talking about the issues that people care most about. Healthcare is the number one issue on the minds of so many voters across America. That's what helped Phil Murphy and Ralph Northam become the governors of New Jersey and Virginia. And the last time Democrats won both those governor's races in the same year was 2005. And so we saw that we were able to flip the U.S. House the following year. And so we're winning elections all over the country because we're focused on the issues that people matter, care about the most.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because I understand that, but I have to ask you the punchline to the joke. What do you mean we? Because if you're talking about a pro-gun candidate and an anti-Nancy Pelosi candidate who uses that in his campaign, Connor Lamb apparently thought this would help him get elected. He did get elected. Let me ask you about one issue in particular. Pro-gun states, West Virginia, Missouri, North Dakota. They have important Senate races this year. Gun control, not popular there. Where are Democratic candidates going to stay, and where's the Democratic National Party on gun control?
Well, let's be very clear. Connor Lamb won in Pennsylvania because he was talking about the right to organize the union. He was talking about health care. He was talking about pension security, bread and butter issues of the Democratic Party. Republicans don't think that health care is a right for all. They think it's only a right for a few. Democrats believe that health care is a right for all. That's how Connor won. I'm confident that Joe Manchin in West Virginia is going to win his reelection, and that Claire McCaskill and Heidi Heitkamp and others who are running in red states are going to win those reelections, and we're going to be supporting them in those races. Because you just had a teacher strike in West Virginia, and one of the people who helped bring it to a close was Joe Manchin. There's nobody who's done more to fight for health care in West Virginia than Joe Manchin. There's no one who's done more to help people who've been displaced by the layoffs in the coal industry to punch their ticket to the middle class in something different than Joe Manchin. And so when you have Democrats fighting for the issues that people care about, and you have Republicans like Roy Moore who want to fight the culture wars, that's why we're winning elections.
What's going to happen when gun control is the issue in those states? Is the Democratic National Party going to take a stand and ask the candidates in each of those states to take a pro-gun control stand, or are you going to let them fend for themselves?
Well, listen, people like Joe Manchin, they understand what West Virginians are thinking on this. And you know, I personally believe that common sense, gun violence reduction measures, and the Second Amendment freedoms can coexist. And we saw this in Florida, where even a Republican-dominated legislature began the process of passing some common-sense gun violence reduction measures. What will happen in Pennsylvania will be up to the voters of Pennsylvania. For Bob Casey, it'll be up to the voters of West Virginia in the case of Joe Manchin. And again, when you look at what's on people's minds in those states, it's jobs, jobs, jobs. It's health care. The opioid epidemic is crippling West Virginia. And what do Republicans want to do about it? They want to take away your health care. What do Democrats want to do? They want to make sure we're treating the problem and helping people out.
Let's talk about some strategy. Black voters have always been an important contingent of the Democratic Party. A growing level of frustration with the Democratic Party has taken, and the complaint is that Democrats have long taken black votes for granted. We're seeing money now from particularly black donors go to other kinds of other concerns and other nonprofits. Black voter turnout way down in 2016. What does the Democratic Party do about that?
Investing in every zip code, never taking anything for granted. We took too many voters for granted in recent years, including but not limited to African-American voters who are such a loyal part of the base of the Democratic Party. That's why I was so proud to invest roughly $1 million in the election of Doug Jones. And we invested early, and virtually all of our investment went into organizing in African-American communities. We were proud to have supported Vi Lyles in her election, which was successful. Proud to have invested in Keisha Lance Bottoms' election as the mayor of Atlanta. In Virginia, we invested in communities of color in very, very robust ways because we can't take any zip codes for granted. And we are investing in rural engagement because, again, the old DNC was seeding whole cloth counties across states. The new Democratic National Committee is investing in rural voters. We won in places like Roanoke, Virginia, which is coal country. And we won a House of Delegates seat there because we talked about health care. We talked about good jobs. We talked about the fact that if you work a full-time job, you ought to be able to live a stress-free life. And that is how we are winning. That's why in North Carolina, I have a lot of optimism. That we can break the majority this year.
Let's talk more about that. North Carolina, an interesting case study because Republicans now hold a veto-proof majority in the state House and the Senate. Went for Donald Trump in 2016, but does have a Democratic governor who also won in that race. What's the strategy in North Carolina?
Organize early, organize everywhere, flood the zone. This is remarkable that this is the first time all 170 districts have a Democratic candidate, at least in recent memory. And we saw in Virginia, when you flood the zone, when you field quality candidates across the state in House of Delegates races in Virginia and in the state legislative races here in North Carolina, in the congressional races, and when you are organizing early in these districts, and when you're talking about the issues that people matter, that people care most about, that's when we're at our best.
Let me ask you about trade, because here Donald Trump has split with his party, and at least the main donors to his party are not with him on trade at all and tariffs. Connor Lamb, the Democrat, supports the president on tariff and his anti-NAFTA stance. This is going to be, it seems to me, a complicated story. Democrats certainly not strongly in favor of NAFTA. But there's the support of farmers in states like North Carolina who have been outspoken about how tariffs are going to affect them. So what's your reaction to the president and tariffs, and where are the Democrats going to be come November when this issue comes up?
Well, once again, the president has a ready, fire, aim approach to governance on these issues. China's a chronic cheater. They cheat on steel. They cheat on aluminum. They've been cheating for years. And there is a right way to go after them, and then there's a way that has a lot of collateral damage. And what this president is doing now, this ready, fire, aim approach, is going to hurt soybean farmers. It's going to hurt pork farmers in this state. It's going to hurt tobacco farmers in North Carolina. And he, you know, he was going to put a tariff on Canada and Mexico and Europe. You shouldn't be stabbing your friends in the back. You should be working with them. And what we see here again is governance doesn't matter to this administration, and people are going to suffer from that. We should absolutely be holding China accountable on steel and aluminum and solar panels and other areas, intellectual property, where they are absolutely cheating. But there's a smart way to do it that doesn't victimize farmers and others in North Carolina and elsewhere. And they're not doing it that way. And people are going to suffer here.
What about the raising voter turnout? That was certainly an issue in the 2016 election. I understand the Democrats have announced, you recently announced the I Will Vote campaign. How does that, what is that, and what kind of impact should it have in North Carolina?
Oh, our I Will Vote campaign is one of our most important initiatives. It's designed to get 50 million people across the country out to vote in 2018. When people stay home, Democrats lose. And what we're doing is working with our partners in state parties, in faith communities, in the labor movement, other grassroots organizations, to make sure we're out there registering people to vote, getting them to commit to vote, getting them to commit to register to vote. The excitement here in North Carolina, Frank, and across the nation is very palpable. And we're working day in and day out to make sure we're organizing everywhere, and making sure we protect the vote. Because I saw, as the head of the Civil Rights Division at the Justice Department, that the Republicans here in North Carolina, frankly, were hell-bent on making it harder for eligible people to vote. And that's unconscionable.
Tom Perez is chair of the Democratic National Committee, also former U.S. Secretary of Labor, in town to deliver the Terry Sanford Distinguished Lecture at Duke University. Chairman Perez, thank you so much for talking with us.
Pleasure to be with you, Frank.
Just ahead, most people know the name Cecile Richards from her long tenure as head of Planned Parenthood. She'll be in here to talk with us about a new book that traces a lifetime of what she calls making trouble. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.